This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 95 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is January 29th, 2017. From Denver, Colorado, I am John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I got it right this time. It is other than Tannen Grace. Hey, Tannen, welcome back.
Hey, John. It's finally back to... Nice to be in the right city this time.
Yeah, I messed it up last week, and I said he was from Las Vegas, because the last time we talked, that's where you were from, and I didn't put two and two together that you were moving anywhere, so...
Oh, no, it's all good.
Yeah, so we got a heck of a show, but let's head over to Kansas City. Hey, say hi to our very own J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R., how you doing, man?
Hey, John. Hey, Tannen. Happy. Another good week, 95 episodes in. Five away from the big 100. Excited to talk about some Hearthstone this week.
Yes, we've got a lot to talk about. It's not the heaviest week from like active Hearthstone stuff changing in game, but there's a lot going on in Hearthstone outside of the game. And we're going to definitely chat quite a bit about that. But first, let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone. JR, what are you up to lately?
Well, first thing I wanted to start off with is not Hearthstone related, but then I'll get into Hearthstone related stuff. I'm gonna leave it brief. This afternoon, I went over to a gaming store with some buddies, and we were actually gonna play Magic: The Gathering because we hadn't played in forever. And they had a game there called Star Wars Destiny, which is a physical CCG game. And the guy was telling us it's been selling out like crazy, and it's really popular. We decided to give it a shot, and because he had some starter decks there. Huh. I will tell you this. I'm not going to go back to playing Magic because this game was a lot of fun. If you're looking for like a physical collectible card game, 30-card decks, very easy, very quick to play.
He's a poker guy. He plays a lot of poker. He's got a great poker face. But if you saw when you said he's not coming back to Magic, the left eyebrow just... twitched a little bit. How he's tilted a little bit.
Well, it's one of those things where Magic, if I wanted to get back into that, there's a lot of stuff you can, you know, try a lot of different formats. This 174 cards, very easy to just get into and play. It's got the backing of the Star Wars franchise and all that. So it might do okay. It's got Disney backing. Maybe it won't, but it's popular right
now. Does it have the backing of Destiny as well? While they're at it. Okay. So.
Fantasy Flight Games is the one that makes it, and they make some pretty good board games and stuff like that. That's pretty cool. So.
Did you get some Hearthstone in this week as well?
Yeah, Hearthstone stuff. I've been playing a lot of Miracle Rogue. I haven't played Miracle Rogue in forever, and I haven't played it with Mean Streets, and I wanted to get better at learning how the matchup was played. I took Miracle Rogue from like rank 12 to rank 7 or something like that.
Wow.
By just playing it a couple hours. And I really, really enjoy that deck. Like, I did not think I would enjoy Miracle Rogue until I really started playing it. And I'm like, man, I should have been playing this a long time ago. It's so much fun. Sometimes I get really dead and stupid draws, but that doesn't happen as often. It's just really fun. It's just a fun deck.
Nice.
What was that?
I said, those draws are going to happen. You're going to have the draws where you draw like all your coins and like nothing else, and not an Edwin or a questing adventurer. But when you draw those draws, like the game is a lot more fun when you're playing Rogue and you draw Edwin a lot. I just never draw that card.
I went a game where I didn't draw my Gadget Zan Auctioneer for the first 15 turns.
I saw the picture from that game where you had, what, five coins in your hand or whatever? At some
it was
point.
More than that.
It was five, it was seven cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was seven cards. They all cost zero. It was like double prep. Five coins or something was awesome. It's a great photo.
And then somebody in our Facebook group posts almost the exact same screenshot.
Like the day after.
Yeah, like, well, I'm having this issue too. Touch of JR.
The Walmart virus.
Right. Tannen, what about you, man? What have you been up to in Hearthstone and other stones?
Oh, no. Hearthstone has been rough for me for about the last week. I think I said it last week on the show as well that I've just been kind of stagnant. Now there's a couple days left or, you know, enough hours for me to still make Legend. I think I'm around like five or six or seven. I keep hovering right in there. I just need to put my nose to it and go if I really want to make Legend this month or not. I just don't know if I'm going to have the drive for it before the month is over. We'll see.
Takes dedication, man. That's a lot of time. It's only five ranks, but it's a lot of games.
Yeah. Especially, if I go on like one, if I go on one losing streak, probably is not going to do it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people are stalling out there right around rank five this month. For some reason, the ladder is getting more competitive. Some would say it's more coin tossy there. I'm not there right now, so I can't speak specifically to that. But do you think it's a little bit more RNG favored this month, or
I don't know about RNG favored. I just think all the matchups are so close that, like, you know, you're gonna go 50-50 a lot, because, you know, there's no way to like break the meta right now, which we'll get to later in the show. There's no deck that's like, oh man, this is the deck to be playing on the ladder right now. And
there's
the main problem
for everything.
Yeah, exactly. And the main problem I'm having right now is like I'm trying to do it without playing Shaman. And if you really want to make Legend as quickly as possible, you just play Shaman.
Yeah. Just play Shaman. Just do that.
Or Rogue. I actually think Rogue's like the best deck to play on ladder right now if you know what you're doing, because
you're
people don't
good,
know how to play against
it.
But
yeah, if you're good, I don't know how to play against it.
You need a lot of games to be like really good with that deck. Like there's a difference between like good and really good, and I think I'm like okay, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, as for me, not a whole lot this week. I'm at the point where it's late enough in the season where I've kind of eased off my Hearthstone playing a little bit. Nighthold released in WoW, and it's a new raid for WoW, and I've been having fun kind of playing around in there for a little bit. And I've been working on a couple new projects. We debuted the esports fast break as an audio only thing last week, and I said, hey, send me your feedback, do you like this? And a lot of people joined up in Discord, which, by the way, discord.gg/blizzpro. We had an awesome week talking about Hearthstone and Overwatch.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun this week.
You should definitely come hang out with us. Whenever I'm watching tournaments and stuff, I'm right in there hanging out. And, but I'm like, you know what? This might be really cool as a standalone video thing. So I made one for Overwatch. And it was really cool. It was featured on over.gg, which is like my favorite place to go for competitive Overwatch news. And I'm like, well, let's make one for Hearthstone. So I've been doing that. And I'm not a video editor. You know, our shows look nice on Twitch and all, but it's couple of Photoshop files, and you just kind of crop everything in place and hope it doesn't break. So it takes a lot more time to produce that, even though it's like a 3-minute video. So spent a little time doing that, playing a little WoW, trying not to watch the world explode around us. Don't worry, we're not going down that route.
Please, but not.
It's been an interesting week, but thankfully this will be an hour and 15 minutes of just peaceful solace as we talk about Hearthstone this week. So let's do that. Let's jump into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Oh, we've got some news this week. Before we do, we want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of this show. I hung out with Corel last Saturday. It was a lot of fun. So played a little pirate warrior, little dragon warrior. Orange's List. I think Orange's List is the best list if you go to the Vicious Syndicate meta report and look up the different lists. I think oranges is the best one. It runs a slam and an execute. I like that. I like those. So thank you again, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Carell. If you want to support the show, help us bring on cool guests and spend time making cool, you know, little bits and stuff, head on over there and find out how you can get involved. All right. So I don't think any of us here are Android users. I think we're all iPhone users. But
I used to be an Android user.
You did. I remember when you switched.
Boo.
I remember that. One thing with Android is that whenever Hearthstone updated, it essentially had to scrap the whole client and re-download it. So it meant a gig and a half, 2 gigs of files.
It was 3 gigs.
Three at the end?
It was ridiculous. That was one of the main problems with Android.
Yeah. So they finally changed it now to where the patch files have been greatly reduced. So, hey, Android users. Welcome, welcome, welcome to what us iPhone users have had at all along. Just kidding. It's a joke. I'm not bashing Android users much.
Yeah, yes.
Maybe. It's a joke. A little bit. It's a joke. Carl, put down the keyboard. We're not making fun of Android. I see you. Don't even write the email. I won't even read it. What else do we got going on, though? JR with Team 5 getting some help from the industry here.
Yeah, so I geeked out a little bit about this. Ben Brode tweeted a picture with legendary designer Mark Elliott, who I most remembered him for a few things. One main thing, but a few different sets. He was the lead designer for Magic the Gathering for Onslaught and Legions, which were two of some of my favorite Magic the Gathering sets that I've ever played. Like, Onslaught was one of those that I was just starting to get back out of Magic the Gathering, and that set alone, like, pulled me back in, like, really hard. Because it was such a, it was like that whole block was so good. It was like Onslaught today is probably still one of the best like Magic the Gathering sets that they have ever created. He also created Urza's Saga, but like I told Tannen in our Slack chat, we don't talk about that one. That was his first one. He learned his lessons after that. that set was completely broken. But yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, that one was not okay. There was a lot of problems in that one. Cards were just too good in that set.
Mm. Yeah. Well, but Onslaught and Legions, like, to get the help, like, Mike Donay was on the Magic the Gathering team. And, he became a game balancer for Team 5 as well. So to kind of get that insight from the Magic the Gathering team, I think is a really, really good thing. And I'm curious to see, like, what lessons they might have learned from working with Mark Elliott these last few weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, it actually kind of excites me to hear that, because when I hear Mark Elliott and hear the sets that he worked on, yeah, you know, like JR and I are kind of like making fun of Urza Saga. You're like, that set was not okay. It was broken.
It's the TGT of Hearthstone. Or the Naxxramas, like, I guess.
Yeah, it was more the Naxxramas.
The Naxxramas. Yeah. It was like, too strong.
Every card. Yeah. Every card was just way too good. But the thing was, is like that set, it tried to do something new and revolutionary in Magic, and like all the cards were so good and so complicated that like if you were like a middling player, if you weren't like a pro, you had a hard time winning against somebody who was really good, because like everything was just so powerful that like all these people broke the game and stuff like that. And you know, some things had to be banned or like, you know, restricted and stuff because of that. But when I think about sets like Onslaught and Legions as well, is JR alluded to it, those sets were great. They were awesome. They were fun to play. And they were really cool because they were different. You know, like a problem with games, like especially Hearthstone, is you get these updates and you're like, oh, it's just the same templating of cards over and over again with like a new word on them. You know, it's another 3/4 for 3 mana that has an ability. Like, you know, we keep pushing this. You have this thing called power creep where like, you know, eventually, you know, cards are so good now and new cards come out that old cards aren't actually like a thing anymore. But Onslaught and Legions were so cool and so revolutionary. And it was like a one of a kind feel and set for it. That when I hear that he's working for Hearthstone, it could possibly bring some new idea like that into Hearthstone, it gets me super excited.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, like Onslaught and Legions were like the sets that really brought some really kind of different mechanics to the game. Like they brought like morphine and stuff like that, where you hadn't really seen yet in Magic the Gathering. I mean, Urza's Saga was kind of the same way too.
Yeah, like for sure. You had like, you know, reduced cost on cards, like ways to cheat on resources, like things you had never seen in the game. Was Legions the one that was all creatures? Like literally every card was a creature?
Yeah, that was an all creature set.
Yeah, because you had to print creatures that like did stuff now. You know, you still wanted to have like the spell feel of the game. You're not just endlessly running dudes into dudes. Like you need to have like, oh, this guy like kills another creature when it comes into play. This one gains you life. This one does something else. So it was like very visionary, you know, like it was just so different everything he's ever been involved in. So JR, I know I probably speak for you as well when I say about like just how excited I am overall to hear that he's involved.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's go back to the English part of our podcast.
But John, after hearing that, like, how would you, like, what do you think about that after hearing us talk about him? As someone who didn't know Magic.
From somebody who didn't understand most of the words that were coming out of your mouth. I mean, for me, a few things make sense, right? As Hearthstone continues to legitimize itself as the premier CCG, having people who have held that for years, if not decades, can only be a good thing, right? Yeah. I think the like earnings estimates came out this last week and said Hearthstone generated $395 million, and like Shadowverse was in second with like $100 million. I mean, you know, to the tune of four times as much as second place. They're a successful team, but to stay successful, they have to continue to stay true to the vision that has made Hearthstone great, but also learn from the people who have been on top for years and years and years. And in the physical CCG, I would guess, I don't actually have the numbers for this, is still on top overall. For...
It was number five overall out of all the games, and it's a physical game. Like I think Wizards with Magic, I think it was number five. I could be wrong. But
like in the physical CCG, are they number one?
I would assume so. I don't know if like Yu-Gi-Oh or something is ahead of it, because I mean, kids buy a lot of packs.
But, I had a lot of Pokemon cards, man. Yeah. I had a lot of Pokemon cards. yeah. So anyways, like even from then, whether or not they're making the most money, when people say TCG, they basically almost always say Magic. So that means a lot.
And to put things in perspective, when we're talking about Onslaught and Legions, like those sets came out in like 2002, 2003. Yeah. So this guy has been in the industry for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I was a senior in high school like when those came out.
Adorable. I'm old. Do a little JanSport backpack. And
I still have it.
Yeah.
I still have my JanSport.
I just guessed because everybody had a JanSport backpack in Hutchinson, Minnesota.
JR, how many starter jackets did you have in school? Because you're older too.
Oh man, I had the one. I had one.
No, I had two.
One. You had them too?
Yeah, I did.
I thought they would have been out of style by the time you were there.
I was really young. I had a Chicago Bulls one and a Philadelphia Eagles one, but I had the starter jacket matching windbreaker pants. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Like the
you were a tryhard
stuff. My cousins lived in Chicago. Do you remember Flat Stanley's? Did you guys ever do those where you have like a tracing of yourself and you can send it to a family member and they go to, they took my Flat Stanley to a Chicago Bulls game. You got him clothes and then sent me the clothes back. It was pretty cool. Took pictures of that.
I just had a Chicago Cubs one.
Yeah.
Of course you would.
We're getting way off track. Flat Stanley is going to be the episode title for this one. We'll just type it in. Nostalgia. All right. Anyways, JR, I think you've got one last thing to announce here before we go into eSports.
Yeah, so BlizzPro is going to hold a contest on our Hearthstone site. If you go over to hearthstone.blizzpro.com, for those listening to live, it's not live yet. But once you listen to the show, I should have the blog post up by tomorrow. Probably tonight, actually. But we're giving away these awesome posters.
Can you
that
show them?
I'm going to show them here in a second. They're these faction posters of the different factions. So I've got one here of Jade Lotus. It's upside down.
We already did this. How did you not get them all?
I had it flipped around over there. They're right side up.
They're
now,
like a silhouette. So it's a little bit hard to tell. Yeah, they're like a silhouette thing. Right,
so there's a Jade Lotus of Aya, Black Pie. There's Mean Streets
Golems
with
our girl was best friend.
Yeah, Don Cho there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then I've got, of course, Kazakus here as well.
Yo, ship me that one. I want that one. There's no contest for that one. I just get it.
Yeah.
Notice how there's only one copy of the Kazakus one.
I have like 4 or 5 copies of each one.
Ooh.
And what we're going to do is I'll have a blog post up and you fill out a form and you're going to design a faction creature. Nice. So you'll fill out the form, design your faction creature. It'll have everything on there, like health, stats, what kind of effects you want to give it and stuff like that. I will pick the best ones. And of the ones that I choose, the faction that they picked will be the poster that they get.
Nice.
And you That's can awesome. You can submit as many of these as you want.
A million. Like
I'm going to spam
please
you
don't
with like
do a million. Please don't do that.
I'm going to do like 50.
Put JR
please,
to work.
Please only do a handful. Yeah. I hold a lot
in my hands, JR. Like 50 is a handful for me.
That's how I felt when we did the design a priest card. I'm like, oh, well, maybe get a dozen, 2 dozen max. And we got over 100. And I was like, oh, God, what have we done? What have we done? So make sure to do that. Stay tuned.
We'll see how many we get.
Stay tuned at hearthstone.blizzpro.com for that. I'm sure you've already got it bookmarked already because our listeners are the best. Let's go into esports.
The Pro Corner.
All right. We do have some esports news, and backed by popular demand, at least this week. If you don't like the esports fast break, email me and say you don't, but we didn't get any of those this week. So we're going to do it again. We do have video this time accompanying it. Ooh, so it should be good. And again, I cannot reiterate enough. Give us your feedback on if you like these, if you don't like these, if you want something different to be included. The only thing that I cannot get is a better video editor right now. So you're stuck with me for right now. But we're going to go ahead, bump into the esports fast break. And one more thing before we do that, we are hanging out at discord.gg/blizzpro. Come hang out with us there. It's a lot of fun, I promise. All right, let's go into this week's esports fast break. Hearthstone Esports continues to show strong in early 2017 with 3 large events this week. First, let's head to San Antonio, where PAX South hosts the last Hearthstone Major of the winter season. PAX South, in partnership with Geico Gaming and One Nation of Gamers, plays host to this 128-player tournament featuring big names, small names, and no names. Notable attendees include Amnesiac, Frodan, Just Saiyan, Orange, Racy, Strifecrow, Trump, and VLPS. While players of all different backgrounds were present, big names performed well with 11 of the top 16 players already signed to major esports organizations. The top 4 players include Trump, Ray C, Leadpaint, and Terrence M. Leadpaint trounced Trump 3-0 while Ray C ekes out a win over real-life friend Terrence M 3-2. In the finals, a series of excellent draws left Ray C in second place as Leadpaint secures the victory, $5,000 in his share of 75 HCT points. At the time of this recording, the Battle of the Best, a team-based tournament featuring some of the biggest organizations in Hearthstone esports, is still ongoing. Featuring Team Liquid, Complexity, G2, Tempo Storm, Luminosity Gaming, Fade to Karma, eSuba, and Team Kraken, the Battle of the Best has great teams competing for their share of $10,000 and supporting 2 separate charities, Gaming Aid and Able Gamers Foundation. Into the semifinals, Fade to Karma upset G2 6-3 while losing to Team Liquid 6-5. Currently playing is Luminosity Gaming versus eSuba. Lastly, ESL's Trinity series continues to bring some of the best Hearthstone play in recent memory. Alliance, who failed to take a game against G2 Tice's Murloc Paladin, continues to struggle this week, losing to Complexity's Paladin 3 more times before Orange finally defeats the deck with his Freeze Mage. Alliance still loses the series 6-2. Luminosity's Tempo Mage defeats Tempo Storm by the score of 6-1. When asked why Luminosity brought Tempo Mage, Frozen had this to say.
We saw it at NA versus CN. A lot of the Chinese players have been bringing it, and it's been doing work on a lot of the fourth deck specifically, like the non-patches deck. And against patches deck, it still has some good or not draws.
G2 continues to show their dominance as they defeat Virtus Pro 6-4. Last but not least, Cloud9 struggles as Team Liquid, on the back of Show's Murloc Paladin and Dragon Priest, take the series with a comfortable score of 6-3. Going into Week 3, it's G2 in first place, Luminosity in second, and Complexity in third. Alliance is currently in last place, winning only 2 of the 14 games played so far. Next week, Trinity Series continues Wednesdays and Thursdays starting at 10 a.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/ESL_Hearthstone, and Kinguin hosts the Kinguin for Charity Tournament featuring 6 days of games over the next 3 weekends. Tune in to twitch.tv/Kinguin_net on Saturdays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Pacific. That's it for this week's Esports Fast Break. Boom! Nice. There it is.
Woo! I was enthralled. I was like sitting there watching the video. I was like, what's going to happen next?
Oh, man, it took way too. I got it down to where I can do the video start to end in a day, which is kind of neat. So just grab
You'll
all
get
the
faster
clips.
At it.
Yeah, it's still a lot of work. But I'm calling all video editors. If you want unpaid work experience, I'm just kidding. I won't put you through that. We'll learn. We'll figure it out one by one. Anyways. That's a lot of esports going on. The big thing I took away, number one, competitive Hearthstone is alive and well. Feels really good. It was really exciting to see Fade to Karma a little bit. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
They've always stayed right at the top of the B tier, and they've got Senfglass. They've got Jackie Chan. And then they have Ali Straza, who is an amazing streamer, but she should not be discounted as an excellent Hearthstone player. As well. So that was pretty cool. They beat G2. That's a big deal. And handily as well, 6-3. But I really wanted to talk to you guys about that was PAX South. So first of all, good friend of the show, Ray C, second place in a 128 person open. That's amazing. Kudos to him. That's like, he's got like something like $3,000 that he gets from that. So
plus the HCT points that go with it, right?
Yeah, HCT. Look at me, all about money. He gets HCT points. With Sell those out. Points, he should for sure qualify for prelims on top of his ladder finishes. So that's kind of a big deal. And like we said, it is the last major tournament that we have on the books right now before HCT preliminaries and championships. So what I did want to ask you guys about is, in this format, we saw a lot of great signed players. We just talked about them all, but we also saw a lot of no-name players who got the opportunity to go head-to-head with some of Hearthstone greats. And a lot of people enjoyed this. We've always kind of chastised Hearthstone a little bit for being too huge, big pro-friendly or too ladder grindy, open cup grind friendly. And this was a really good opportunity. I felt like it felt a lot to me like Last Call last year before BlizzCon, where you saw some really big names, but you also saw some really great brand new names as well. So this felt pretty great. Were you guys a fan of this? Do you think that there's a way that they can find a way to make formats like this the norm going forward? What do you think, Tannen?
Now, I think they can make it a format that is the norm somewhat. You know, like this is a normal kind of thing that you have at like some majors where they're open. Like, I love it. Like, I remember I watched the opening match. I think it was like Frodan versus, I don't remember the guy's name. You know, it's somebody I've never heard of. I don't want to call him a no name, but you know, you could tell that he didn't have a full collection, you know, but he's getting his match streamed against one of the biggest names in the sport. You know, across the entire world, you know, like 20,000-30,000 people are watching. That's pretty cool. You know, it's awesome to watch. And I love that they're getting people this opportunity, because how are you supposed to make a name for yourself in this game if you haven't yet, if you aren't getting that opportunity? And I think that's one problem that I've always had with like competitive Hearthstone and stuff, is like, it's just always the same people. Like, it's so hard for somebody to bust through. It's like maybe one or two people a year, you know, like you have to win the world championships pretty much, it feels like, to become from like, you know, the B team to the A team for some of the stuff. So if this becomes somewhat of the norm at some of these things, I love it. I welcome it. I hope it happens more. I don't want it to become the norm overall, because like it's like you said, some of the best stuff we've seen recently out of Hearthstone is the Trinity series, right? Mm-hmm. And there's not a single no name in that entire tournament. You know, all these guys are like, guys and gals are some of the biggest names in all of Hearthstone, and these teams are insane. You know, they're so good, and it's been so, it's also a different kind of format, so that's been fun to watch as well. You know, it's not just the same thing that we've seen over and over again. So I think a good solid mix of it to make this short is what I'm looking for.
Sure. JR, do you think that that's maybe what they're trying to solve with the monthly cups?
Yeah, a little bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about, well, like, for something like this, like HCT, for HCT points, like, this is perfect because this is exactly what HCT is trying to do, right? They're exactly trying to get whoever is the best Hearthstone player. Like, they don't care if you have 30,000 people that view your Hearthstone stream, or that you've made a big name of yourself, you know, in the past with Hearthstone, and you know, people are gonna watch you like crazy. It's really taking whoever is the best, like, at the ladder and the best at these kind of open tournaments. You get to play whether you're a big name or you're not a big name. You have a chance to get something, and I think that for HCT is huge. But I also agree with Tan, like, these tournaments where you only have like the big name players, like, you know, or these team formats, like, those are important too, because that's how you get viewers to you know, watch these tournaments. And that's how, and it's good for Hearthstone esports as well, because that's how you're going to make your money with sponsorship deals and stuff like that, is by getting more and more viewers to watch. And viewers might only be interested in just watching Raynad or Life Coach or, you know, someone like that, and not someone they've never heard of, because they're not going to tune in for that. So from like a competitive level of finding out who is the best Hearthstone player, like, this is very, very important. It's open to anybody, big names or not. For these other formats that don't get HCT points, it's also very important as well. And I think we're like, I feel like this year, like, we're starting to just finally get that correct mixture. And I didn't feel like we had, like, 2 years ago, it was all the big names. Last year, same 30 it wasn't. People. And it felt like, and it felt like esports in general for Hearthstone was falling. This year, like, out of the gate, it's really feeling like it has that nice mixture.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, Tannen, I'm gonna send this question your way then.
Sure.
15 of the top 16 players were seated in the top 20, and 11 of the top 16 players are already signed by a major esports organization. Does this help the naysayers who say that, or not the naysayers, but does this kind of shut up the people who say that Hearthstone is this giant RNG fest and the best players aren't the ones necessarily playing on teams? Or do you think that this is proof of that?
I mean, it definitely is, right? I mean, like, would you say like 11 of the 16 were players at major signed organizations? I mean, that's a staggering number. You know, it's well over half. And I'm going to say something that we always talk about in poker when people are like, oh, it's all luck. And I'm like, then why do the same people win all the time? Are they just the luckiest people in the world? Like, these four dudes are just like, these four people are just the luckiest guys in the world? No, I mean, like, these are Hearthstone players that, you know, they're signed to major teams because they put in the time and the work, right? And you see it in their results. Yeah, sometimes they lose at tournaments, but there's a reason why they're usually there at the top.
Yeah, cool. Okay, just glad I'm not making things up.
No, it's definitely validating. That's kind of how I
felt. I'm glad you made the analogy to poker, because it felt very much like that. But it also, mm-hmm. we did see some people that while they are signed to professional teams and they have contracts, they aren't part of the biggest professional teams. Ray C, Terrence M, and Lead Paint. I believe Terrence and Ray C are all with an organization. I don't want to, because I forget the exact name, but I believe Lead Paint is as well, but it's kind of like a, gamer sensei or a smaller Fade to Karma in the sense where it's a little bit less I don't even want to say professional, but it's a lot more organization and a little bit less job, I guess I would say is the way I would put it.
See, I want to say something with this. Like,
okay,
there's something that we talk about a lot with players like this. Like, if you talk to anyone in the industry who's in the know, like any of the big time players or people behind the scenes, like they know that Racy and Terrence Hammond lead paint, they know these guys can play. Like, you talk to people who are signed to some of the biggest organizations in the world, and you talk to them, they're like, yeah, that guy's good. You know, these players are good. And just because you're signed to a major organization doesn't mean you're the best player in the world. You know, a lot of these guys are there, or girls are there, because, you know, they have big streams, big followings and stuff too, because in the end, it's a business, right? And they're not necessarily just getting, it's not like baseball. You don't want just the best players. Like, this is an entertainment business as well, instead of just a competitive one. So, I mean, if it was just the best players on all the teams, the teams would look drastically different.
Sure. Except for G2. G2 would stay the exact freaking same. They're so good. Yeah, I'm glad you said that too.
Fanboy.
And right? Well, you know, they haven't steered me wrong yet. I've been betting on G2 since like episode 30, and I always win. Ask Kevin. I always won those bets when it come down to G2 playing against anyone else. I think that should do it for us for esports this week. Definitely tune in. There's some good stuff going on this next week with the Kinguin charity streams, as well as we get week 3 of 7, I believe, week 3 of Trinity series coming up. So keep in mind for that, but we got to jump into the meta here.
Beat him or join him.
Yes. So this week in the meta, we did want to take a little bit of time before we jump into the meta reports this week and talk about everybody's favorite memer, Zixo. Again, one of the best, most consistent and well-respected Hearthstone players in the world, but very controversial on social media and otherwise. And he had this statement that I wanted to kind of break up for a little bit. And the question basically led him into the answer that said Hearthstone doesn't need more expansions. It needs better expansions. And I wanted to take a little time with you guys and discuss, A, do you agree with him? And B, what does that even mean? JR, what are your thoughts? So if a guy walks up to you on the street, says Hearthstone needs better expansions, not more expansions. Like, what are your initial thoughts?
For me, my initial thought is I would agree that we could always use better expansions. And I'm sure Team 5 would even agree with this. The expansion you put out isn't going to be the best. You can always do better, right? So there can always be better expansions. And I would agree. You always want to shoot for more quality. You know, Magic is like this, where it might have really bad expansions or it might have amazing expansions like Onslaught. At the same time, like,
I'm sorry, I didn't understand those words. No, I'm just kidding. Good. Keep going.
At the same time, they are on, like, Magic is on, or not Magic, sorry, Hearthstone is on a consistent schedule right now. Magic is on this too, actually, but Hearthstone is on a consistent schedule where we know how many expansions we're going to get in a set year. So, we know we're going to get new cards, and Hearthstone needs new cards. So it's one of those things that, like, it didn't make a lot of sense to me because, yeah, we need both. We need better expansions, and there have been some really good expansions for Hearthstone already, but they could always do better. But we also need more cards in the card pool, and we know that we're going to get that, and we're going to get it at a consistent basis. So it was one of those things that didn't make a lot of sense to me. To be honest.
Okay, fair enough. Before I ask you to go deeper into that, though, Tannen, I want to hear your thoughts.
So I found this interesting because I think we need to like look and read deeper into it from Sixo's perspective than maybe some people are, because, you know, I agree with them on face value. We need better expansions, not more expansions. You don't need to make cards just for the sake of making cards, but yeah, you actually kind of do. You know, Blizzard has a bottom line. They got to like sell packs and stuff anyway. But here's the thing. 6-0 has been one of the most like outspoken pros about how, you know, quote unquote bad the format is right now, how annoying this meta is, you know. It just feels like to him, he's literally just hitting his head against the wall, just doing the same thing over and over again, and he's not getting to like outskill anyone anywhere. And I can understand where I think this is honestly just coming from frustration from him. I think he actually tweeted out recently that he wasn't going to play much until the new expansion comes out, or, you know, until like the next set, because
until the pirate package changed. Yeah,
that's it. Until the pirate package changed. I forgot what his ultimatum was, you know? And also, I mean, like, yeah, it's a big deal when 6-0 says this, right? Because he's widely considered as, like, the best player in the world. Like, he's generally, I think, the most common answer you're going to get when people are like, who's the best player in the world? At least, like, you know, 6 months ago, up till, you know, about a month ago, most people would be like, yeah, it's 6-0.
Yeah,
like,
he's definitely top, I would say top three, top four for sure. There's lots of arguments with, like, Life Coach and other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, 6-0, I think he got most consistent player in 2016 from the GOSU Awards. So, like, he's... For somebody to blame someone to point out like these RNG and these metas not being fun, well, being celebrated as the most consistent player means a lot. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I mean, that was perfect. It added a lot to what I was saying. You get what I'm trying to say here. You put it more eloquently than I did. You know, we all remember bad sets, you know, like the great disappointment. I'm sorry, the grand tournament instead of the grand disappointment. And, well, I mean, come on. Like, how many cards out of that set made it into Constructed? Like, how many cards from that did you play?
Hey, my Joust Paladin.
Oh, shut up! Like, don't even. Okay. Like, as soon as you said Joust, right. I was out of it.
Yeah.
But how much of that was because Goblins versus Gnomes and Naxxramas was so good?
Yeah, exactly. Like, could we get a little more balance? Like, those.
But even
sets
after
were,
those.
Yeah.
Even after those phased out, though, we're still not playing those cards, right?
Well, that's because Old Gods is still like really good.
Because, but I mean, compared, right? Like, it was still,
They tried. It didn't work out. It's fine. Like, you know, you swing and miss sometimes, and
everyone
I
gets
remember
their
like looking
slot. No. What's
yeah?
The...
Exactly. There you
what's
go. Onslaught.
The,
there
right
you go.
One?
You
just, what was the yeah, bad? Yeah. What was yeah. the bad expansion?
Oh no! Urza Saga. There you go.
Urza
so
Saga.
Everyone gets that one.
Everyone gets one of those.
I remember looking at the set and like looking at the first thing you look at is like the new abilities, right? Like, are these going to be broken? Like, you know, remember on social media when we saw the Jade package, we didn't know exactly what it was. And then we found out everybody's like, this is going to change the game. Like, you can't play control anymore. And we realized, oh, it's actually a control enabler. But you looked at like the grand tournament and you see like Inspire and you're like, wait, my stuff does stuff when I hero power. I don't ever want a hero power. More or less, like, why would I want to do it multiple times in a game, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, overall, I kind of agree with them. I'm like JR. I don't know if I can like agree with them all the way, because like it's hard. You can't always like, you know, not every set can be Naxxramas, and not every set is going to be the grand tournament. So I feel his frustration, and I think that's where it's coming from, is what I'm trying to say overall. Right. I think he's just super frustrated with what's going on.
Sure. That's where I ended up. I feel his frustration, and he's right. And if anyone has an authoritative opinion about game balance and consistency, it's probably the most consistent player in Hearthstone, which go back and look, you'll see that. Now, at the same time, I went back and I didn't spend like a million years reading every single tweet, but I went back about a year from 6-0 to look at his Twitter, and I removed all the mentions. And just his Twitter, not once did he have something positive to say about the meta at any point. So there is that aspect of it. I'm not saying he's like a doomsdayer, and none of them at the same time have been so extreme as to say, I'm not going to really play much until this pirate thing wears down, you know, see at spring championships kind of thing. But He does have a point. Number one, the Hearthstone team should always try to be making better expansions, right? Like, if your game has a peak, you should try to beat that peak as much as you can. And that doesn't just mean creating better cards. It means better flavor, better balance, more active communication. There's a lot of things that go into that, right? It's not just... Oh, reprint League of Explorers, which is the best expansion Hearthstone has ever seen, doesn't mean reprint that. It just means find a way to do better. And I'm sure that anybody in any genre or any workforce hopefully tries to do better things every day. I know I do. We're always trying to do better things on this show. And like, that should just be a standard for excellence for everyone. You always try to, you know, outdo that. At the same time, number one, I don't think that, what's the word I'm looking for? Embargo. Is that the right word? What's the other? Anyways, like stopping playing the game is the correct way to like vocalize those frustration and threatening to quit or threatening to do, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't think that kind of feedback gets anywhere. Continue to play, continue to give feedback. If you like the game, continue to play. If you don't like the game,
play something else.
Yeah. And you're right. At some point you're going to have to play something else. Boycott. Kage. Thank you. Boycott. Not embargo. Yeah. Boycott was the word I was looking for.
I was having
for.
Fun watching you stew, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks. But like, I get that. I definitely do. And I do think that there are ways to make players like that happy. There is one concern. If every Hearthstone expansion is super impactful and has super necessary cards, somebody like Zyxo, who you would need to assume makes pretty good money playing Hearthstone. I'm not saying he makes amazing money, but clearly enough to play Hearthstone full time. He can afford those cards and he can afford that collection and he can afford whatever card he needs to do it. Guys, like many listeners and girls who listen to the show they can't have full collections. There's still a legendary, that I don't have. I think I really wanted Rathion. I don't have Rathion. Whatever happened to Rathion, by the way, I thought he was going to be so good. Anyways, like there's still that thing that while competitive players and people like Zyxo absolutely should feel that the meta is at least in a place that encourages them to keep playing and doesn't lose their interest, somebody like myself who can't afford you know, 500 packs of cards thanks to Overwatch loot boxes, you know, can still play and be semi-competitive and not feel that by the time I collect the cards I need, the next one's coming out and all the cards just trump the ones I just collected, right? So there's quite a bit to kind of break down in that. And I don't think it's just as simple as boycotting it. But he is right, too. We don't need more expansions. Like, it's already kind of hard enough to kind of stay up to date as it is. Just when we think that there's nothing more to talk about, we got another expansion to talk about. So there's a lot of stuff there. So anyways, Zyxo, if you want to come on the show, I'd love for you to come on the show and talk to us more about that comic. We don't disagree with you, but we want to hear the most consistent Hearthstone player in the world make their points in a place where they can be really eloquent with them. I'm sure he will hear that. Let's talk about the meta. Did you guys have any other thoughts on this?
No, I just wanted to know like exactly what he meant by it. Like, because I don't agree that we don't need more expansions. Like, I feel like, but I know how many I'm going to get. So
right. And to your point, like, I'm not saying no new cards. You know, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying,
because I feel like right now I want new cards. Like, I'm ready for a new set right now.
Was this also from the set of interviews that he did when he did like 6 in one day plus was competing in a tournament and he said that his brain was completely fried? I think this might be from the series of interviews as well. So at some point in time, you're not going to be as eloquent as you want or maybe say exactly what you want to. So
totally.
Maybe, you know, we can give him a little benefit of the doubt, but this seems pretty straightforward in what he means.
It does. And like I said, he's been consistent on Twitter with kind of being a little bit of a Debbie. Yeah, a little bit of a Debbie Downer when it comes to those things. But at the same time, when Hearthstone's going good, do you even think about...
I was I was just about to say that, like, you know, when you go to look at reviews and stuff, you always see so many negative reviews, because when someone has a bad time with something, they're going to let you know. People like to complain and stuff, but when something works the way it's supposed to, you're not like, thanks, Blizzard. Thank you for giving us a set that really works the way. Like, how many times have people actually tell them or post about, like, how great League of Explorers is? You know, not many people Not enough. That's the correct answer. Not enough. But when, you know, the Grand Tournament came out, you definitely heard about it a lot, you know, or when people think a set is too overpowered or like hurting Hearthstone overall. Yeah, you're going to hear about it a lot. So, yeah. You know, maybe we should be a little more, you know, give our good feedback as well a little more and be like, right. You know what? I like this. This is great.
Well, and as developers, Ben Brode had an amazingly eloquent and long comment on Reddit about design philosophy and complexity and what that all means when you're talking about a CCG. And it was great. Positive feedback and constructive feedback are what keeps that communication flowing. If all we're doing is threatening to quit the game on social media, we probably get a lot less Ben Brode and Yang Wu posts and get a lot more passive, you know, tweets and the occasional video and stuff like that. So it's really important to say, this is what I love about Hearthstone. This is what I really like about this expansion. And also, be constructive. You know, small-time Buccaneer, it doesn't enable me to do this. And I find that when I want to play this type of deck, I haven't been able to in this long. Like, there's a lot of ways to give that feedback and be
just change that card. It's simple.
Right.
Whole format changes. Just change the card.
Boom. Let's go a little bit into the meta. Surprise! Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed.
John, I was waiting for a surprise.
It was a surprise.
I feel like something is changing, though.
Something is, though. Tell us, JR.
I feel like Mid-Jade Shaman is going to end up overtaking Aggro Shaman at some point soon.
That's bold. Agreed. I'm not bold enough to say that.
I can agree with it.
Not until Pirates change, personally. We'll make a bet right here. John versus Tannen and JR. JR says that before, can we say this? Before Pirates change, Mid-Jade takes over Aggro Shaman? Is that a bet you want to take?
If Pirates does change and Mid-Jade Shaman is going to be really, really good.
Totally right? Agree with you there. won't disagree with you for a second. But you're right. Mid-Jade Shaman, 8% of all decks. Now, not really close to the 19% on Aggro Shaman, but that is enough to put it kind of in, what, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh place? Not bad for the second archetype in a class. Still, this is saying from rank, this is rank 5 from rank 1, by the way. Rank 5 to rank 1, it is still saying, though, that Shaman is like 34% of all decks on the ladder. One in every three is Shaman.
Welcome to Shamanstone.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, that's a little high for me.
That's what Tannen was saying, though, at the beginning of the show, was if you want to get to Legend and grind to Legend from rank 5, you got to play Shaman.
You do. You got to beat him, like, or join him. In this
the
case,
deck's great, and it's fast. Yeah. You know, it gets through games quick.
Yeah.
And it's 27% at all ranks, by the way, just for people like, well, I'm not rank 5 to rank 1.
27 is still too high.
Way too high. Totally agree. Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of going on there. Vicious Syndicate does have their meta breaker this week. They said, in the famous words of Valera, I give up. Play Aggro Shaman is what they're saying right there. So, kudos to Vicious Syndicate, keeping it funny while they tell us all the bad news, that there's really not much to beat that.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing you have to look at here, too, that I think I talked about this in a previous show, is look at the top three there and, like, the percentage of those decks that are getting played, and every single one of them plays the pirate package, a small time buccaneer and patches. You got Miracle Row, you got Pirate Warrior, you got Aggro Shaman. I believe Jade Shaman even plays with it, right?
Some of them do, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's one of those, like, that package right now is used in so many different decks, and all those decks are, like, high level. Like, the only thing you don't see it in that is a high level, like, tiered deck is Dragon Priest and Reno Mage. And Reno Lock as well, but Reno Lock's kind of been falling as a top tier deck lately.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I saw, who was it, like, Kranich the other day tweeted about he's playing Control Warrior. He was, like, top five legend, and his deck had patches in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't he? He had Nazoth's First Mates in his deck to, like, fight the patches decks, and he's like, why wouldn't I want a free 1/1?
You know? Right.
It's basically always, it's a guaranteed Ravenite, not Ravenidol. What's the 2-mana 1/1? Or 1-mana 2/2 for Druid?
It's
a Raven. Something Raven.
It's a Raven or something. Yeah,
but I just call it the 2/2 Raven.
Yep.
Yeah, the 2/2 beast for one. Yeah, I mean, like, it even, you know, activates your executes. You could pair it with Slam. Like, the card's flexible.
Yep.
It's just a 1/1. It's just a, what is it, Stone Tusk Boar?
Yeah. You know,
that randomly has upside.
Yep.
I mean, that card got played and constructed back in the day, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it's not unheard of to see cards like that make it into the game.
Do you remember when Grim Patron used to run Stone Tusk Boar? How stupid was that?
I don't ever want to talk about that deck ever again, John. Come on. Never again. I'm still having PTSD stuff. I used to have to cast like 4 or 5 days a week when that deck was the most popular.
That's right. That was in the HPL days.
Oh my God, that was terrible. Man. It's like the mirror matches. I was like, dude, you need like a calculator and an abacus to like keep up. That's the only way you keep up.
Right. We've got one more thing I want to touch on quickly. So basically for the meta this week, we don't know. Aggro Shaman or have fun, I guess, if you're wanting
let's
to
say
win,
have
though.
Fun.
Yeah, you got to be playing Aggro Shaman. Tempo Storm does go video for their meta report. This actually happened last week. We just ran out of time, but at the top of their meta report now, they do have a video accompanying it, kind of talking through some meta shifts and changes hot on the heels of the embittered battle between Vicious Syndicate and Reynad, the Salt Lord himself. So for me, this seems pretty obvious that regardless on how well the whole situation was handled on each side, it's spurring change at least. And Tempo Storm did at least take it to heart and say, well, this is how we can make that better. This is how we can make it more clear about what we mean.
And it's good because that was something that Tempo Storm, I felt for a while was getting very lazy with their meta reports.
Agreed.
So to see them,
like,
you know,
like us.
Do some changes.
changed. You're good, kid. Anyways, sorry. Yeah, you're right, though. It was just, it didn't change enough. There was a lot of errors. And yeah, got it.
And they have a wild meta report now that is actually really good. Like, we don't talk about it, but
we don't,
definitely go check it out.
We don't talk
about it. It is, like, if you want to play wild, go check out Tempo Storm's, like, wild meta report. You can tell that they have finally gotten someone that actually plays wild to put together the report.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the only sorry, go ahead, Tannen.
No, I was going to say, I completely agree with you in the point that you made. It feels reactionary to me. Kind of is like almost, I think you used the word defensive. Like, you know, it's like you're calling us out. Like, not only are we going to, you know, make our product better, but now we're going to change our product in a way that makes it flashier. So it stands out more. And then, like, you're seeing it mentioned in other places. Like, I was joking that, like, there might've been a sellout moment on, I think it was the Trinity series where Admirable and TJ Sanders were doing some casting. And they had this little hilarious bit. If you haven't seen the GIF.
Oh, yeah.
They had quite a few. Yeah. There was some really funny bits.
Yeah. If you want to find them, I think Ben Burrowed was tweeting them and like Hearthstone was tweeting them, but they're like trying to figure out who's favored to match up. They like open a book to a smaller book and et cetera, et cetera. And eventually it's just a cell phone. He's like, oh, I'm on the Tempo Storm meta snapshot, you know, like specifically names that one. And he's like, yeah, this matchup is favored for this guy. And I was just like, you know, it's like, is it product placement? You know, you almost kind of feel like it, but, you know, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth and say that's what it was, but I feel like you hear Tempo Storm meta snapshot a little bit more than you were before, like the whole little fisticuffs that went on.
Right. Well, and let's be honest, that whole to and fro was great publicity for both.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes down to it, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they, like, talked behind the scenes about, let's start some drama.
Let's make a big beef so we could all get better ratings. And yeah, then they're like, read it, sit back, start eating popcorn, you know?
/r/ Hearthstone conspiracy. Here we come. I want to see though, like, I like video meta reports. What you talked about though, that was at the Trinity series with Admirable and TJ Sanders. They also did a really funny one with Kazakus potions. And it was when
I haven't seen this one.
TJ Sanders, dang. And, Kibler, Brian Kibler, where it was in between a match and he had three bottles of like a small bottle, a medium sized bottle, and a huge bottle. We don't know what it was. And he had to choose a Kazakus potion and he chose the one mana one. And it was like mouthwash. And I guess
if it was Kibler, it's 5 hour energy. No question. It has to be 5 hour energy in one of them.
Right.
That guy needs a sponsorship from that company. I mean, he goes through like five of them a day.
Really? Man, I can't.
Oh yeah, he chugs those things.
But that's 25 hour energy. So does he stay up all?
He does not sleep.
Have you seen him? He needs a lot of energy. That guy is high energy at all times. He goes through the five. It probably only works like half the time for him. It's like 2.5 hour energy.
What? At one point, you hit that diminishing returns, right? Where you no longer are sensitive to it. I remember having like this pre workout caffeine thing that I tried taking for a while. And like after like 3 or 4 weeks, it was great. I would go to the gym and felt awesome. And then eventually, I don't
your body
feel
gets
this.
Used to it. Yeah.
2 scoops, 3 scoops, and I'm done. This is no longer healthy. Haven't been able to taste or feel caffeine since, but now I just have this twitch. So
I'm like the other way now. I cut it out like a long time ago. I drink it every now and then, just not very often. But like I had a cup of coffee this morning before the tournament that I played in. I was like in between rounds, I wanted to go run laps around the building.
Really?
Oh yeah. I was so wired.
Oh man.
I will say this, the fall off of it is way worse when you don't intake it at all.
Trufus.
I started taking caffeine pills to replace like coffee and stuff like that. I drink a lot of water with caffeine pills. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Like when I go into work in the morning, it's just like wired. It's like programming guys.
I wish that I could stay focused on caffeine. The problem is I have all this energy and no focus.
It actually helps me focus for some reason. I have the opposite effect.
You get the ones that are like specifically designed to like help enhance your brain waves or whatever. They're like, it's supposed to help you focus or whatever. They were like giving some out.
Yeah,
they were giving some out at BlizzCon like a couple years ago. And I forgot it in my car for like 6 months. I was like, I probably shouldn't drink that. It's probably toxic at this point. It'll probably kill me.
That's how Superman was actually born. He drank a 6 month old.
I'm gonna drink it right now.
Right. Let's go into the email a little bit here.
We've got mail.
All right, we do have mail. I did want to get through both of these. We just don't have the time. So thank you for your emails so much. Right, because we talked about caffeine and Magic the Gathering.
A lot of magic.
This week, yeah. But I did want to take this email from Clark Kent. Writes in, says, great show as always. You guys talked this week about card backs and collecting them. I have a slightly different problem / complaint. I hate the alternate golden heroes. As much as I'd love to switch up a hero portrait for some classes, I don't like that they're automatically golden. I have pride in the 4 golden classes I have and love working towards golden heroes for my remaining one. It takes the fun out of it if the hero is automatically golden when you buy it. Basically, my question is, do you think they'll ever release new alternate heroes that start basic and you have to rank up gold to golden similar to the original heroes? Thanks, Clark Kent. JR, what do you think? Now, wait, so the whole hero isn't golden, right? It's animated.
Yeah, it's animated. I don't believe it's golden. I don't believe they're golden unless you have like a golden warrior, right?
I think that even then the hero power is golden, but the actual frame isn't. Isn't that the complaint that people always made?
It might
be. I think that was, originally. But anyways, I definitely agree with this guy. I think that like you should definitely, have to get the 500 wins to get any kind of animation on it. Otherwise, it feels like you're paying to appear like you have a golden portrait.
Got it. Yeah. Sorry. Arsvarit corrected me. It's the other way around. The hero power isn't golden unless you have golden.
Okay. I knew it was something. I just couldn't remember. Because I'll be honest, I don't pay enough attention to how they look in the game. Because I just play and I don't really getting golden heroes isn't something I aspire to try to do either.
Sure.
I know, but I know like lots of people do, and right, it's very important to them. So I'm not diminishing his concern or at all, or anybody else's who has that. Sure. For me, it doesn't matter to me. But I can see why people would be upset with that.
There are a lot of people who think of progression in Hearthstone outside of the ladder. And right, I think that I hit the button there on accident. It's my 5-hour energy. just can't focus twitch on anything. Time to go. And where was I? See, this is the problem. That we have.
Where's the caffeine?
The progression outside of the ladder system. And I think that they should have those carrots dangling from places other than just the rank you finish at each month or how many wins you get on an arena. Sometimes just a reward for being consistent and playing the game. And honestly, playing more than other people is a good reward. Yeah. Do I think that they should make it like, let's say tomorrow they release, I don't know, some awesome priest.
A second rogue.
Yeah, a second rogue. Great. Like, do I think that I need to get, it would be fun for me to get 500 wins with that hero equipped instead of just getting 500 wins with rogue? I'm not on board for that.
But I agree.
I do believe is that they should find a way to make those animations flashier when you get golden and have the alternate hero. Because if you're going to get the alternate hero and you're going to pay $10 for it, my Khadgar staff better wave in the wind and I better have this little cool fiery animation in the background. Otherwise, Blizzard, I'm quitting your game until you fix pirates. But if they don't, if they do that, like, I think that that's a great way to do it is, sure, have them animated, but maybe something different happens. Or what if, even then, like, I believe the border isn't golden. Like, there are ways that they can make a golden hero feel more special so it doesn't feel like alternate and golden feel on the same page, which is kind of what I'm hearing Clark Kent saying, is that a golden hero aesthetically feels like a alternate hero because it's animated and the color is, it's just like a little slab of paint, right? So I don't know, I can get on that, but I don't find myself itching for it. I'd much rather a new ladder system. But any last thoughts from you guys, or can we get out of here?
No, I was just thinking that, this Clark Kent guy sounds like, he takes this, this kind of stuff very seriously. Like, he would take off his glasses, put on a suit with his underwear on the phone outside and go in the phone booth. Yeah. All of that. Like, he sounds like that kind of guy, right?
Seriously.
I mean, we did mention another character on the show, someone by the name of like Superman or something, like maybe there's some kind of correlation between the two, because that name doesn't sound real.
I don't approve of wild accusations without
evidence,
without proper evidence. So we'll tabletop that one. We need to get out of here this week. This is a fun show. Just hanging out, bunch of friends talking Hearthstone. This week, before we get out of here, we do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like the show, want to help us to be able to continue to do it and to continue to bring on guests and all that stuff, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. This week for Patreon, nothing new this week. That's okay. It's been a busy week. Holidays. Everyone's still recovering from the wallet slam that is holidays and how expensive all those things are. But we'd love to add you to our Facebook group. And on that same vein, we do have a Discord channel, discord.gg/blizzpro, where you can find us. We're talking about tournaments, decks. People are making tech recommendations in there, completing quests, finding new friends to play with and practice with. discord.gg/blizzpro. Find that out. And I'm taking everyone's job this week. iTunes reviews. Nothing in the U.S. I actually have a server set up or a system set up where this script sends me back international iTunes reviews. It's not working. So if you're international and you left an iTunes review, I'm sorry. We have that thing automated and it's not working this week. They're hoping to have it working next week. But until then, I can't thank you. So if you are international and want us to mispronounce your name on the show, email us as well, wellmet@blizzpro.com. We love your emails anyways. So thank you for doing that. All right. Shout outs and where people can find you for the week. Tannen, you're up first.
You can find me on Twitter at @thetannengrace. And I kind of want to talk about something we just talked about a second ago. We have no new Patreons coming up, but like I said in last week's episode, anybody who joins this week, the next few new Patreons again, not just the next one, I'll play a match against you of your choosing anytime that you can get a free moment on Hearthstone. You pick it, I'll be there. I'll even let you pick the classes in the matchup if you want.
All right, and I'll double down on this. If you beat Tannen, if you play a match and you beat Tannen, I'll put you and whoever else beats Tannen that month into a drawing for a WellMed t-shirt. So,
and make sure you say it on the show too. Rub my face in it if I lose.
Yes. Oh, you know, I would love it if Tannen lost.
I would too.
I will make a bumper for that. You know how we did the boxing ring and the big epic thing? We'll do like the opposite, like Chicken Yard music and
all right.
Anyways, let's JR help us get back on track here.
No, you can find me. You can follow me over on Twitter at @Aldorian. I'll be tweeting there throughout the week as usual, and also on Wednesday, maybe not Wednesday. Sometime this week, it will either be probably Monday or Friday, actually, now that I think about it. I'll be doing another extra live stream. We'll probably be playing like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out or some of those old NES games.
Also known as Kick Tripod's Punch-Out. So,
yeah. just helping raise some money for the Extra Life charity and getting some money for the kids. I'd like to give a shout-out to, I think it was RTS Drums or... I'm probably mispronouncing his name. He gave a donation to us last week.
Nice.
So whoever donates, I'll mispronounce your name as well in our shoutouts.
Awesome. Love it. As for me, I did do some streaming last week over at twitch.tv/kicktripod. Played a little tipsy World of Warcraft. That was funny. Ooh. I was playing with the Line of Sight guys, Tatfa and Tovo. They do the 2-minute tips while raiding guides. They're amazing. You can learn a raid boss in like 2 minutes. Phenomenal. Really good friends. And we were doing that. That was a lot of fun. And so we were hanging out doing that. So I'll probably be doing that some more here. twitch.tv/kicktripod. You can find me on Twitter @kickedtripod as well. And again, Discord, guys, I cannot say it enough. discord.gg/blizzpro. And I also have my own personal Discord. If you go to kickedtripod.com, you can find my Discord there as well if you want to just talk more about the content specifically that I'm doing. but you should be in the BlizzPro one either way. So come on. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Oh, by the way, if you want to see the video version of the esports fast breaks, just search them on YouTube. They're on my personal YouTube channel until I think that they're good enough to go on the BlizzPro YouTube or wherever else. So you can find that there. Just go to Google and search for them. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Well Met. Join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/BlizzPro to get in on the conversation and follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is supported by our fans. If you love the show, you can find out how to become a part of the family at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast, as well as find awesome Well Met apparel at store.blizzpro.com. Special thanks to Jake Butno for our music. This has been episode 92 of Well Met. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.